This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. I don't like sugary foods. When it comes to snacking, my preference would be fresh peas or a few slices of chorizo over a chocolate bar or a biscuit. In fact, if a chocolate bar or a biscuit are the only thing going, I'll just pass. I'm often told how disciplined I am because I say no to cake and sweets that are on offer. But it's not discipline if it's something that you wouldn't do anyway. In my experience, discipline stings a little. It involves self-awareness and self-restraint, or possibly self-motivation. Discipline can even have a grin and bear it kind of quality. I know it doesn't sound particularly pleasant, but I have to say, I am a huge fan of discipline. No, sugary snack foods are not something that require me to do a lot of self-talk to refrain from eating them, but there are other things in my life that discipline has been essential for. And I love it. I love it because discipline means I get things done. I'm 30. I just turned 30 in May. I'm young. I appreciate that. And turning 30 didn't bother me in the slightest. In fact, I was pretty excited to be turning 30 because society gives you a level of recognition and credit at 30 that you just don't seem to get when you're in your 20s. 30 is when you really start being seen as an adult, I guess. But 30 is also one of those milestone birthdays when a lot of people freak out. I have a lot I can say about dreading getting older. Mainly, I would prefer to get older because it really beats the alternative. But I've largely observed that the angst people feel about getting older is in direct relationship to how much they think they should have accomplished in their life by a certain age. Okay, so I'm 30. In my as-of-yet short life, I've been employed as a youth worker, an administrator, a researcher, fundraiser, project manager, IKEA furniture builder, animator, and designer. I established a not-for-profit organization, which is still running today, and I also established what is apparently now the longest-running drag king troupe in Canada. I've written 6 books and had one of them published. I've been to 11 different countries, all but one province in Canada, and not the territories yet, but I'll get there. And I've lived abroad for over 5 years. I've made animations, sculpted, painted, drawn, taught myself to make leather masks and how to use design programs like Illustrator and InDesign. I've organized and put on a total of 3 successful exhibitions of my artwork in London and Calgary. I've taken courses at Mount Royal College, Chelsea College of Art and Design, and Central St. Martin's. And I've studied British Sign Language and psychology in NLP. I've done quite a lot in 30 years, and I chalk this up to discipline. I've often said to people that I'm allergic to procrastination. I'm asked if this can be bottled and sold because most people seem to really struggle when it comes to procrastination. Or rather, they don't struggle, and that's what the problem is. Well, I can't bottle up the anxiety I get when I put something off, and I wouldn't want to. Doing stuff to alleviate anxiety isn't good practice, and I don't recommend it. However, doing stuff because you love yourself and you want to live your life instead of having it happen around you, well, that's discipline. It might not be something you can bottle up and sell, but it is something that can be learned. It's a skill, 100%. It's one I'm constantly improving upon, But I've started to really refine the key tools I use for cultivating a disciplined approach to my life. Because while I've always felt hideously uncomfortable putting stuff off, I've not always been very skilled at getting things done. In an attempt to alleviate my anxiety, I have gone into overdrive and skirted the edge of OCD habits. I did, in fact, develop a full-blown anxiety disorder that did eventually land me in the hospital. Being allergic to procrastination isn't enough to motivate a person to have a skillful approach to getting stuff done. So, what skills or motivation do help? Well, I've been giving it some thought, and I came up with 5 essential things that I now apply in my life. At the moment, you know, they could change, I might add new things to them, I may drop some of them, but at the moment, I could think of 5 essential things. Number 1, don't multitask. This was really hard for me. It's a really hard one in general these days. We live in a world of distraction. Mobile phones that are essentially computers in our pocket provide texts and games and instant internet access. So much for us to do and look at and play with all at the same time. And most of us are uncomfortable with doing nothing and uncomfortable with being alone. So we text a friend while we're playing a game and we're listening to music on our headphones. Or in a professional environment, multitasking can be seen as some sort of a skill that's to be valued. I can honestly tell you, if a job description says must be good at multitasking, I would run a mile. I just do not apply. Because what that job description is saying, really, saying must be good at multitasking, it's akin to asking, well, to saying must be good at doing a lot of things all at once, but none of them very well. I'd rather do one thing really well than 3 or 4 things poorly. Sure, they may get done, but they won't be my best work, and I'll be so knackered afterwards that I'll end up burning out. Burnout is a sure way to not get things done, so multitasking has to go. When we multitask, our attention is divided. The more our attention is divided, the harder our brain has to work. The harder our brain works, the more fatigued we become, and less clarity and quality can be brought to our work. When I set out to do something, I set out to do just that thing, free from all distractions. And then I know I will do it well. Which brings me to number 2, switch off distractions. These days, sitting down and consuming an entire television series is easier than ever, thanks to Netflix. I know in my life, I've once marathoned the entire series of Oz in a few weeks. I also did it with 5 seasons of The L Word. It's easy to do. You've got the next episode. You might as well, right? Well, guess what I don't have? I don't have a subscription to Netflix. I don't have a television. I don't own a radio. I don't own video games or a video game console. I do have a computer and a phone and an iPad. They are distractions. They are a wonderful way for me to escape the discomfort of having not done something I really did actually want to do. They're a great way to veg out and convince myself that I'm actually having self-care because I'm on BBC iPlayer and I just watched some reruns of QI. Not that there's anything wrong with vegging out, and sometimes distractions are good self-care, but in small doses and when done consciously. Like, consciously saying to ourselves, I'm just going to sit down and watch this program for the next hour, and then that's it. Done. I'll go work on that novel, that artwork, tax return, screenplay, online course I've been meaning to take for weeks and weeks, etc. There is totally switching off distractions, but there's also minimizing them in little ways. Like, I turned off all of the push notifications on my phone for about 4 months. I also had it set so that it didn't even vibrate when a message came through. I became a lot less anxious about checking my phone. Before, I felt like, because I knew that there was a message, I had to go check it. But I didn't used to have a mobile phone, and just because someone can now instantly get in touch with me via a text doesn't mean I have to instantly respond. But I'd become so habituated to responding that I'd find myself regularly distracted by my phone. So I changed the settings and voila, distraction minimized. Now I have to make a conscious effort to check if I have notifications, which means I have to engage my brain in that line of thought rather than a vibration or a ting engaging my brain unconsciously in a way that I was starting to struggle to ignore. Which leads to an important question, which is also my number three tool. Ask yourself, what's the most important thing? Actually, this isn't exactly what I ask myself. What I ask myself comes from a teaching by Anipama. Surprise, surprise. There's a talk she gives where someone asks a question about disciplining themselves to go sit in meditation rather than giving in to distractions like checking sports scores on the internet or going to make a snack. Pema says she just uses this phrase, if death is certain and the time until death is uncertain, what's the most important thing right now? Okay, this might sound morbid, and I get that. But contemplating your own impermanence is actually a really good motivator for getting stuff done. It's because we think tomorrow is guaranteed that we decide to put something off. But tomorrow isn't a guarantee. Life is unpredictable, and most of us do not get to know the day that ours will end. We may be so lucky to live well into our 80s or even 90s. I know, as a middle-class Western woman, I've got pretty good odds for a long life. But the fact that I've never smoked, and I eat lots of leafy greens, and I don't drink alcohol or do drugs, won't stop a car from hitting me. It won't stop me from getting terminal cancer. It won't stop me from choking on my healthy leafy greens. Death is certain, but when it's going to happen for most of us is entirely uncertain. So I do ask myself every single day, what is the most important thing? And the older I get, the more refined my answer to this question becomes. Namely, the most important things for me now are to be around the people I love, to be of benefit to as many, ultimately all, living beings, and to love myself. Which brings us to number four, love yourself. Be disciplined because you love yourself, because you deserve it, because you're worth it. Disciplined enough to quit smoking, or to finally take that course that you've always wanted to, or to make more healthy food choices and exercise regularly so you can lose that weight that you've been trying to lose, to regularly go to the gym that you became a member of 6 months ago. You do it because you are worthy of your own love and compassion. I may have a lot of resistance to sitting down and editing a manuscript, or I may decide that I'm too tired to pull out all my painting supplies, but I push through that initial feeling of resistance because I know as soon as I start reading those words on the screen, or as soon as the brush or the pencil or the pen is in my hand, I am doing something I love, something that brings me joy and something that fulfills me. And ultimately, I know that I'll feel much worse by giving in to the resistance because, as Yoda so wisely said, you either do or do not. There is no try. Number five. To not try at all is to fail. I once had a coworker tell me that he didn't put effort into trying things because he was so afraid of failing. He said that his dad had always taught him that if he couldn't guarantee success, then he shouldn't waste his time. What appalling parenting. No one, absolutely no one in the entire history of mankind ever was an expert the very first time they did anything. I am not a natural artist. I learned first by watching my brother and my dad draw. I copied them and then I began exploring my own style. I was lucky enough to grow up in a house where paper and pencils were abundant and we didn't own a television, so being creative to pass the time was what we did. There were no distractions for me. But I wasn't born with this talent. It's a skill. And imagine if, upon showing my parents my first drawing of a person, a blobby oval with stick limbs and eyes floating 2 centimeters above the supposed head, they had told me I shouldn't have bothered because it looked nothing like a person. Imagine if, when I brought home my first journal from school with onion spelled U-N-I-O-N and the punctuation all wrong, they'd said that I should just give up writing. We don't tell a toddler learning to walk that they're a failure because they keep falling over, and we shouldn't be this way about ourselves as adults either. When you put effort into something and it doesn't work out, it's a learning opportunity, not a failure. It's a chance to improve. It's the only way you will. A child doesn't learn to ride a bike without falling off of it a few times. We gain balance by discovering what imbalance is. We gain talent and skills by seeing our errors and correcting them. We learn a lot by failing. I don't know that these five things, 1, giving up multitasking, 2, switching off distractions, or at the very least minimizing them, 3, loving yourself, 4, asking what's the most important thing, and 5, trying regardless of the fear of failure, are the magic formula. I don't claim to have it figured all out. I never will, and I never do. If I do, please call me on it. It's arrogant, and I aim to see my arrogance, recognize it, and let it go. But I do know that without these things, my list of accomplishments wouldn't be what it is, and my ambitions wouldn't feel as achievable as they do. Nothing I want to do with my life is impossible. I know that all it requires is for me to make that decision, muster up the discipline, and then crack on. And I'm no different than any of you. Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Fun Wolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.